And we're getting our first public look into the historic impeachment inquiry. Democrats have accused President Trump of abusing his power by asking Ukraine to investigate his political rival while holding up foreign aid to that country. NPR's diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman joins us now from the State Department. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there, Tonya.
Well, one of the big revelations so far today has come from William Taylor, the top U.S. diplomat in Ukraine. The chair of the Intelligence Committee, Democrat Adam Schiff, asked Taylor about a phone conversation Taylor's aide overheard after the July 25th phone call. Let's listen.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Taylor, I would like to begin by following up on something that you have disclosed today and you disclosed earlier to both majority and minority, but it is some new information for the committee. You said in your testimony that one of your staff was present with Ambassador Sondland on the day after the July 25th phone call. Is that right?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
And as your staff related the event to you, your staff member could overhear Mr. Sondland on the phone. We could overhear the president on the phone with Mr. Sondland. Is that right?
That's correct.
So the president must have been speaking loud enough on the phone. This was a cell phone, I take it?
It was a cell phone.
The president must have been speaking loud enough for your staff member to be able to overhear this?
It was.
And what your staff member could overhear was President Trump asking Ambassador Sondland about, quote, the investigations. Is that right?
That's correct.
Now, I think you testified also that you had come to understand that the term investigations was a term that Ambassador Sondland, as well as Volker, used to mean matters related to the 2016 elections and to the investigations of Burisma and the Bidens. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
So your staff member overhears the president asking about the investigations, meaning Burisma and the Bidens in 2016. And Ambassador Sondland told President Trump that the Ukrainians were ready to move forward?
He did.
And I think you said that after the call, when your staff asked Ambassador Sondland what President Trump thought of Ukraine, his response was that President Trump cares more about the investigations of Biden. Is that right?
And Burisma, yes, sir.
Michelle, you've spoken with an attorney for Ambassador Sondland about that phone call. What did that lawyer tell you about the significance of it?
Well, he wouldn't comment on this now, but Ambassador Sondland will be addressing that in his public testimony next week. And let's just remind listeners who Ambassador Sondland is. He's the U.S. ambassador to the European Union. He's a political appointee and a donor to President Trump. And he, during all of this time, had kind of an inroad on what they're calling an irregular channel between President Trump and Ukraine.
I want to also listen in on something else William Taylor said. He described learning that security assistance and a White House meeting with the president were both conditioned on Ukraine carrying out investigations that President Trump wanted.
On that same day, September 1st, I sent Ambassador Sondland a text message asking if we are now saying that the security assistance and a White House meeting are conditioned on investigations. Ambassador Sondland responded, asking me to call him, which I did. During that phone call, Ambassador Sondland told me that President Trump had told him that he wants President Zelensky to state publicly that Ukraine will investigate Burisma and alleged Ukrainian interference in the 2016 election. Ambassador Sondland also told me that he now recognized that he had made a mistake by earlier telling Ukrainian officials that only a White House meeting with President Zelensky was dependent on a public announcement of the investigations. In fact, Ambassador Sondland said, everything was dependent on such an announcement, including security assistance. He said that President Trump wanted President Zelensky in a public box by making a public statement about ordering such investigations.
Michelle, we've been hearing a lot of details. What else has jumped out to you about William Taylor's testimony?
Well, I think in general, Bill Taylor, who had been an ambassador to Ukraine before, gave a very strong opening argument about why it is important to support Ukraine in the face of Russian aggression, why it is in the U.S. national security interests, and why he took the job, because that's what he thought he was going to be doing. He describes how he was part of the normal business dealings between the U.S. and Ukraine, but that there was this irregular channel that was more focused on, as you heard him there saying, putting Ukraine's new president in a box to publicly call for these investigations that could help President Trump politically. So that was kind of the overarching argument that he was making. And, you know, he said, look, it's important to have a meeting with the White House. It's not just a matter of, you know, niceties. It was important for the new president to have a meeting with the White House because he wanted to be in a stronger position to negotiate with Russia to get Russian troops out of Ukraine.
Michelle, what about what the Republicans are doing today? Let's listen here to Devin Nunes, who is the ranking member on the Intelligence Committee. This is what he said in his opening statement.
What we will witness today is a televised theatrical performance staged by the Democrats. Ambassador Taylor and Mr. Kent, I'd like to welcome you here. I'd like to congratulate you for passing the Democrat Star Chamber auditions held for the last weeks in the basement of the Capitol. It seems you agreed, witting or unwittingly, to participate in a drama. But the main performance, the Russia hoax, has ended, and you've been cast in the low-rent Ukrainian sequel. I'll conclude by noting the immense damage the politicized bureaucracy has done to Americans' faith in government. Though executive branch employees are charged with implementing the policies set by our president, who is elected and responsible to the American people, elements of the civil service have decided that they, not the president, are really in charge.
So it sounds like Republicans are continuing on the theme of saying the process is unfair, this is partisan, and not addressing the substance of some of these allegations? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, and this attack, the calling it a politicized bureaucracy was quite striking because the two men who are appearing today are career public servants. You know, Bill Taylor was a Vietnam War veteran. George Kent has been a foreign service officer for nearly three decades, working for both Democrats and Republicans. And by the way, they also were talking about how Trump's policy was a good one, and that was to support Ukraine with, you know, including with defensive weapons. It was the irregular channel that they're raising concerns about. There is another part that Nunes talked about. He says that the U.S. is trying to impeach this president for inquiring about Hunter Biden's activities. And that was another interesting aspect of this, because let's remember that Biden's son was on the board of an energy company with a long history of corruption. George Kent actually told the committee that he raised concerns when he first heard that Vice President Biden's son was on the board of Burisma. He said there was a perception of a conflict of interest, but he also said that since then he did not witness any efforts by any U.S. official to shield Burisma from scrutiny. The question really is whether it's appropriate for the president to be asking Ukraine to investigate something for political reasons, or an American citizen specifically, because that's what Kent said. It's that when you're asking countries to engage in selective, politically associated investigations, that undermines the rule of law.
President Trump, meanwhile, as this is all going on, has been meeting with the president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who is in Washington for a visit. They're going to hold a press conference later today. We remember that just recently, Erdogan took Turkish troops into Syria, apparently with the president's blessing, to take control from the U.S. allies, the Kurds there. The president says he's not watching what's going on. We're not sure whether that is the case or not. But what do you expect to hear from the president and from Erdogan when they're asked about this at a press conference later?
Well, the president has also been downplaying everything that's come out in these details. He just says, look at the call, meaning the partial transcript of his July call with Ukraine's new president. He called it perfect, and he's been dismissing all of these other stories, as the Republicans have, saying these are secondhand, third-hand stories. These aren't people that have been with him directly. Now, the committees have asked have asked for testimony from White House officials who have met directly with Trump, and they've been blocking that.
Long day ahead. We will continue to hear lots of testimony. What else will you be listening for as we move forward?
Well, we're also going to be hearing later this week from Marie Yovanovitch. She was the ambassador to Ukraine who was ousted after a smear campaign against her led by Rudy Giuliani. That's President Trump's private lawyer. So we'll be hearing a lot more from her about that and about how career public servants are being treated by this administration.
That's NPR's diplomatic correspondent, Michelle Kellerman. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.